Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, that was really nice, Teddy. Selfishly, I'm going to say. Selfishly, that was really nice because you know what? I was late. I was late because I'm reading this book that I didn't want to put down, and I was late. And I got up here thinking, oh, no, I'm late. And then I heard Dove say, take the mic, Teddy. And I'm like, yes, Teddy, keep talking till I get ready. And you did, Teddy, and it was beautiful. So thank you very much. So so I could have even hidden the fact that I was late, but I was, you know, I wasn't at all ready. So it worked out perfect. You'll be my opening act any day, huh? You're all in divine order. Somebody asked what book. You know, I'm not very good at knowing the names of the books I'm reading. That's so funny. I think the guy who wrote it maybe is named Paul Brunton or something like that. And I think the name of the book has something to do with secrets in India. If that rings a bell for anyone, you might know the actual title and the actual author. Please write it down. It's upstairs, so I can't grab it right now. But again, I'm not very. I've always been that way. I think Danielle's running upstairs to get the book. So in a moment, I'll tell you the actual name of the book and the actual author of the book. But it's funny because I'll tell you, I was reading another book. Let me turn around and get the name of it. Timeless in Time. I was reading another book called Timeless in Time, which is a book about Ramana Maharshi. Thank you. And as I was reading that book, it happened to mention this book. And I thought to myself, and actually you guys should know I'm not really much of a reader. I might read a couple of books in a year. I'm just not a big, big reader. But as I was reading Timeless in Time, I happened to think, I would like to read... I wish I had that book. That was my thought. I wish I had that book. Well, I have a yellow briefcase sitting here that says on it, love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. That's what the briefcase says. The next day, I walked over and opened up this briefcase, and this book was in the briefcase. That's a true story. I said, one day, I wish I had it, and the next day, it was in this briefcase. It says, love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. Now, it was not a miraculous manifestation. I do know how it got in there. Way back in February, when I was in Texas, Norma Clark told me she had some books for me. And I'm absolutely sure that she stuck it in there, and I just never unpacked the briefcase, right? So it has been sitting here in my house for months in this briefcase, but I didn't discover it until I wished that I had it. Isn't that a fun story? Oh, I wish I had that book. And it's in a briefcase that says, love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. So the name of the book, okay? The name of the book, it is Dr. Paul, either Brunton or Brunton. It's B-R-U-N-T-O-N. Dr. Paul Brunton, I'll say. It's by Dr. Paul Brunton. And it's called A Search in Secret India. A Search in Secret India. It's a fairly old book. It was written closer to, it looks like it was originally copywritten probably in 1934, originally published in 1934. So it's a fairly old book. And what happened was this man, Paul Brunton, I believe he was a reporter, truly felt an inner calling. There's nothing else you can really call it based on how he describes it. He truly felt an inner calling to go to India. And I would say, although he probably didn't put this in words in the beginning, but his real calling was to go to India in search of truth. That's really what his calling was, to go to India in search of truth. And what he did was he sought out yogis. That was the word he used. He sought out yogis and interviewed them in search of truth. And I do know, although I haven't read the end of the book, I do know who he ended up finding that he thought spoke, taught, was aware of truth. And that was my teacher, Ramana Maharshi. But what I'm finding so interesting about this book, I was telling Danielle, is that as I'm reading this man, Paul Brunton, and he's, you know, meeting these different teachers, his discernment and his thinking as he's listening to these teachers is exactly the same as mine. You know, like when he'll come across, he'll be listening to a teacher who's saying something, 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 and something in me will say, that's not truth. And then like immediately after that, Paul Brunton will say, that's not truth. That's not it. Or, you know, somebody will be saying something that sounds very, very far-fetched based on the way we have been taught to think. And I will be saying to myself, I want to keep an open mind and not judge this. And then he'll say, I want to keep an open mind and not judge this. And it's really amazing to me because his discernment seems to be completely aligned with my discernment, at least so far. And it's also interesting because I know he ends up with the same teacher. So it's just a fun book for me. I almost never read books for fun. But I am having a very good time with this book. And I didn't really want to put it down to come teach. So that's why I was late. But here I am, and I'll get back to the book later. I think after teaching, I've now made a date to make chocolate chip cookies with my daughter, so I may not get back to the book right away. And in fact, the way I read, I might not even get back to it for weeks. Once I close a book, it can be a long time before I pick it up again. So never let me borrow a book if you want it back right away, because it just doesn't work that way. But hi, everyone. Happy Sunday. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is the time that we are reading in chronological order the personal messages that I received from Holy Spirit in order to be helpful to me. And I'm going to give you a link right now, which is the link to the very first message that we're going to look at tonight. This is a message called Looking at Individual Desires. And I told you all a story last week, which is still the same story, because this message came during that same period of time when I was feeling a lot of guilt about the fact that I had three desires that seemed to be based on the world. I had a desire for financial security. I had a desire for a house to live in. And I had a desire for balance in my life with my daughter. And there was a lot of guilt about these desires. So this message that we're going to read tonight came during that period of time when I was experiencing guilt about having personal desires. Before we go and look at the message in order to make sure that it really is most helpful for all of us, why don't we take a moment to go into prayer and seek guidance. Holy Spirit, I am here to seek guidance. I find that there is always more and more guidance. A lesson learned from you once before comes back and is seen in more subtle cases, or is seen with deeper realization. The old teachings, the messages you gave me years ago, do not seem to get old if I remember to come to you now in my present state of awakening and ask for guidance now. The teaching continues as long as I need the teaching, as long as it is helpful to me, and most importantly, as long as I still desire it, as long as I have not become distracted and forgotten what I truly want and started to seek after something else. If I keep my desire ripe by constant prayer, devotion, and focus on my desire, the teachings that I need continue to be current. They're always there, always ready, and always helpful. I am so grateful for your guidance. Thank you, and amen. All right. So with that said, shall we look at the message? Looking at Individual Desires is the name of the message, and Holy Spirit speaks first. You have been seeing your confusion regarding individuality. That's good. This confusion must be seen and released if you are to be truly helpful to me. No individual, and that's in quotes, no individual can be helpful to me because I am not the teacher of individuality. I am the teacher of oneness. Only the thought of oneness is helpful to me. The thought of oneness is one will. And that one will is yours and within you now. All right, here we go. Question. I said, I understand clearly what you are saying, and I still have a question about the desire for a house and for financial security. Aren't those desires from the individual? Now, I know that many of you understand what I was going through at this time, because I know that you experienced this same confusion. So hopefully this will be helpful to us, right? Let's see how Spirit answers. Spirit says, yes. Yes, those are desires from the individual. Yes. The individual has not disappeared. To pretend that the individual has disappeared when it has not is not helpful. That is denial. I asked you to make the list that you may flush up the desires of the individual. To see that you still believe yourself to be individual is important. And I will not take that belief from you. That is why I do not ask you to give up your desires. Now, for those of you who were not here last Sunday, I had been guided by Spirit to make a list of heartfelt desires. You know, there weren't tiny desires on there like I want a new iPod, which I actually don't. But to give an example, Danielle does. She wants an iPod. You actually want an iTouch, right? Yeah, an iTouch, which I called an iPunch the other day, and they really laughed at me, which shows how out of touch I am with that stuff, an iPunch. But it wasn't that kind of stuff. It was the really, the real heartfelt, I would call it bigger, more important stuff. You know, what did I really, really want? And when I looked at what I really, really wanted, I found that I want financial security. You know, I don't want to be fearful about how I'm going to pay my bills, or I don't want to be fearful about if my car breaks, how I'm going to get it fixed, right? I want financial security. I said, I want a house to live in. I don't want to be homeless. And then I said, I wanted balance in my life with my daughter. I had a fear in my mind that my spiritual practice was taking so much of my attention that somehow I was neglecting her. And that did not feel right for me. So I didn't want to turn my attention from my spiritual practice, but I wanted balance there. I also didn't want to abandon my daughter. So these were my three desires. I had three others after that, which funny thing is I don't remember them. I remember the theme of them. They were based on awakening. They were based on a desire to awaken. I may have said something like, I want to hear only Spirit in my mind, for example. But the reason I think I don't remember the way those last three were worded is because there was no guilt around them. I felt okay about the last three desires on the list because they were perfectly aligned with purpose. I felt guilt about the first three. And so that's what we're looking at, is a message where Holy Spirit is helping me to work through that guilt. If you were here last week, you know that after I wrote on the list that I wanted financial security, a house to live in, and balance in my life with Jasmine. What I wanted to do was I wanted to take those three things off the list. That's how guilty I felt. I wanted to take them off the list. I wanted to pretend like I didn't want those things because I felt guilty for wanting them. And what Spirit said to me repeatedly was, don't change the list. Let go of the guilt. So the message that we're looking at now is a message that came during that time period when I was still feeling guilty and confused for wanting those three things. And yet at the same time, I did want them, right? At the same time, I really did. The idea of not having them was fearful to me. Okay, so you can see how I'm kind of torn. And maybe some of you understand this torn feeling, right? So again, I said, I understand clearly what you're saying, Spirit, that I need to let go of individuality, that no individual, you know, individual would be an independent thinking person, someone who's not really listening to Spirit, right? No individual with their own thoughts, their own ideas, their own way of looking at things can truly be helpful to Spirit. It's the surrendered mind that's truly helpful to Spirit, the one who listens and does as they're guided. I get that. But then I say, but what about these three things that I want? Basically, what I'm saying is, doesn't that make me guilty? I'm not saying that in words, but that's what I'm saying. Doesn't that make me guilty? But the way I asked it is, aren't those desires from the individual? And Spirit says, yes. The individual has not disappeared. To pretend that the individual has disappeared when it has not is not helpful. That is denial. I asked you to make the list that you may flush up the desires of the individual. To see that you still believe yourself to be individual is important. And I will not take that belief from you. Do you hear that? I will not take that belief from you. That is why I do not ask you to give up your desires. Spirit is not asking us to lie about where we are on this path. If you were here last night, it was part three of looking at answers from NTI, answers to the question, how do I wake up from the illusion? And one part of those many, many answers, one part was to be grateful for the state of awakening that we are currently experiencing. Do you see the difference between the idea of being grateful for the state of awakening that we are currently experiencing and the idea of feeling guilty for still wanting some basic human needs to be taken care of? To feel guilty for still wanting some basic human needs to be taken care of is not the same as being grateful for my current state of awakening. It is judging my current state of awakening. It is saying I'm guilty for not being more awakened. So it's a thought that is not at all helpful to awakening, you see? Although I think probably, maybe all of us at one point have shared it, felt guilty. Guilty for still wanting some basic human needs to be taken care of. Right? Guilty for some human desires. Guilty for wanting what we want in the world. But if we're guilty for that, then we're not being grateful for our current state of awakening. We are judging our current state of awakening and saying we should be more awakened. And again, just last night we learned gratitude for our current state of awakening is what's most helpful to awakening, right? So Spirit says that seeing that I still believe that I am an individual and I still need these things is important. And Spirit also says, I'm not going to take that belief from you. And that's why I'm not asking you to give up your desires. This is what you desire. I asked what you desire, and this is your honest answer. Thank you, Spirit says. But now let's continue. Spirit says, but if you are willing to trust me through not focusing on your individual desires, you will see that you are not the individual. By focusing on me and my guidance within, you will learn what you truly are. You will come to see only one desire. It is that single desire held to truly that will lead you to step through the keyhole that is called the eye of the needle. Now, what's interesting here is Spirit is not asking me to deny my individual desires, and Spirit is also asking me not to focus on them, right? Don't deny them, but don't focus on them. You know, so the real question is, how much time do I spend worrying about or thinking about or with my own power trying to achieve financial security, a house to live in, and balance in my life with Jasmine? If a lot of my time is spent thinking about these things, worrying about these things, or trying to achieve these things, I am misguided. By misguided, I mean being guided by ego instead of by spirit. Spirit says, do not deny that you want these things, that you even believe that you need these things. And in the previous message, if you weren't here last week, Spirit said, consider these things a gift from me. Consider it done. And now, focus instead on me. Do not spend your time thinking about, worrying about financial security, a house to live in, balance in your life with Jasmine. Right? Spirit said in the last message, consider that done. Now spend your time focusing on me, focusing on awakening, focusing on the practices I am giving you and teaching you. And you know, if we want to, it just depends on how anal we are, I guess, but if we want to, we can chart how much time in a day my mind is in a certain place, right? And if I'm spending all day long worrying about financial security, a house to live in, and balance in my life with Jasmine, or if I'm spending the majority of my physical efforts trying to get those things, then I'm actually not following this guidance that's right here in front of me now. Because this guidance is asking me to trust Spirit and not focus on those things, right? Again, let's look at this second paragraph underneath Holy Spirit. But if you are willing to trust me through not focusing on your individual desires, you will see that you are not the individual. By focusing on me and my guidance within, you will learn what you truly are. You will come to see only one desire. It is that single desire held to truly that will lead you to step through the keyhole. That is called the eye of the needle. Now hold on, I get the feeling there's something on the board, but let's see. Raising hand, I would like to share something on this. Okay, great. By the way, I happen to see that. But I want to tell you that during Holy Spirit Guides, I'm actually reading from another window on top of this window, and I often don't see the comments on the board, but what I never cover is the hands. So actually, I might miss your comment on the board, but I won't miss your hand. So sticking up your hand is always the safest way to get my attention, since I do have another window open simultaneously. But, Tom, here you go. The mic is yours.
Okay, I'll be pretty quick on this. Thanks, Regina. This is huge for everybody. And it's something that I have been sort of asked to look at, throughout the journey. And what I have sort of experienced is that the Holy Spirit showed to me that the idea of wanting is actually split off from the spirit. And it's this, like you say, this individual that own hands the ability and the function of attaining this wanting. Right? But what the Holy Spirit also showed me that these things, these needs, as we're referring to them, these human needs we have, are also within the Holy Spirit's mind, because the Holy Spirit is not dumb. and leave us without the ability to fulfill the function that he gave us. So what I've been taught is to see these things not as it offers to me now. You know, that everything I need, and even sometimes just the things I want, are part of the Spirit's plan for me in my learning, in my teaching, and in my in fulfilling my function in the world. So I hope I kind of made this clear, that in our minds, like, we experience a split between these things, but there isn't a split. Holy Spirit has it. That's why he says, trust me. Thank you.
Yeah, I love what you said. The Holy Spirit is not dumb. I quoted that. I think it's perfect, though. The Holy Spirit is not dumb. And in fact, you know, what the Holy Spirit once shared with me is that it does not teach through fear, right? The Holy Spirit is here to teach us that we can trust love. And so you can see that when we still believe we have these basic human needs, by providing these needs as a gift, is a part of that teaching that we can trust love, right? It's a teaching that guides away from fear. But what Spirit is also saying in this message is that if we focus on our spiritual focus rather than focusing on our bodily needs, just trust that the bodily needs will be taken care of, and we focus on our spiritual practice, what will happen over time is that these other needs, these needs of the individual, will begin to disappear. But Spirit does not take them from us, right? At some point, we no longer truly believe that we need them anymore, because we see ourselves no longer as a body, as a spirit. And in order to move to that point of transcension, I guess, for lack of a better word, our focus needs to be on the spiritual. So yeah, we focus on the spiritual and let Spirit provide the bodily needs. Okay? So, it's simple to say. As we all know, it's not always simple to do, because the ego can have a pretty loud voice in our mind telling us that, you know, you just said, Tom, that the Holy Spirit is not dumb. Well, I have to tell you that the ego has a completely different opinion. And if anybody who's ever been through this, we know that the ego says, you're stupid if you trust Spirit to provide for these needs, right? You're stupid. So, and it does seem to take a lot of desire to learn otherwise, right? That's what it takes. It takes a lot of desire to learn otherwise in order to stick with the guidance Spirit is giving and not listen to that ego voice. All right, so what I'm going to do is return to the message. I do know that a few people have popped into the room. So for those of you that have popped in since we have begun, there is your link to the message. We are reading a message from January 2007. And right now we're about to begin the third paragraph underneath Holy Spirit. Here we go. Holy Spirit says, do not abandon your individual desires falsely. Do not pretend that you do not want what you want. That is not helpful. Acknowledge your truest desires as they rest in your heart and give those truest desires to me. Then continue to walk in the direction I ask you to walk without concern for your individual desires. Do not fear them. Let guilt not enter your mind regarding them. Only trust them as you continue to follow me. I'm also reminded right now of in the Bible, in the New Testament somewhere, Jesus says to the apostles when they are about to go out in trust, two by two, in order to teach the good news of the kingdom. Jesus says to them at one point that a worker is worth his keep. And that was one of the ways that he meant Spirit will take care of you. A worker is worth his keep. Or a worker is worth his wages, actually, is what he said. A worker is worth his wages. Every good employer knows a worker is worth his wages. So, again, we can trust. Now, one thing I always like to be clear on is that one thing we're talking about here is following guidance. You know, sometimes we get form and content confused. For example, you know, the person speaking now is someone who was guided to leave her job. I was guided to leave my job way back in 2005. So obviously it's working okay. I'm still eating. I live in a very nice house. My daughter and I have pretty good balance in our life, by the way. But I was guided to leave my job, and I was guided to trust that what I needed would be provided without going and looking for another job. That was my guidance. Sometimes people get confused, and they think, for example, that not having a traditional job is more spiritual than having a traditional job, and that if you have a traditional job, you are guilty. That's just not true. What we are supposed to do is follow guidance. You know, we're talking about the fact that Holy Spirit will provide for our basic needs. Well, you know, that's true for everyone. And if you think about it, right now, while the majority of the world definitely believes they're in human form, basic needs include things like transportation, medical care, dental care, food, entertainment. You know, the list goes on and on and on, which means all of those jobs are a part of service to spirit, providing for the basic needs the humans still believe they need. You know, there's a lot of jobs that have to be done. One of the jobs that obviously needed to be done was NTI needed to be allowed to come into the world, and there needed to be a person who would be the teacher of NTI, the steward of NTI. I was given that job. And as someone who was given that job, my employer is making sure that I have my wages, my employer being the Holy Spirit. It's kind of interesting because I often say that I left my job, but it's not really true. It's not like I quit working. It's not like I said, I will never work again. I'm going to do whatever I want and Spirit will take care of me. That's not what happened. What happened was Spirit gave me a different job and said, I'll take care of you. Some people may be guided not to leave their jobs because the job they are in is not only perfect for their awakening, but it's also a part of that service that is providing for the perceived needs of all of the humans, which aren't humans at all, right? They're spirit thinking they need things. And again, love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. So a lot of the jobs are fulfilling that service. And they're providing the perfect awakening opportunities for you. Sometimes people are guided to change jobs. Sometimes people are guided to change locations but keep the same type of job. Sometimes people are guided to change their marital partner. But to say that it's good to leave a job or good to leave your family, that that's more spiritual, is an error. What we want to do is follow individual guidance and then trust as we follow that guidance. So I came down to the end of this particular message that day and I asked Spirit, what else would you share with me today? And Spirit said, rest in peace, which is interesting because in our world, we usually say that, well, when people are dead. Rest in peace, right? That's what we put on tombstones. Rest in peace. You know that resting is the way. You know that you are complete and whole now. Everything that you need will come upon you as you need it, and you will see it when you are resting and trusting. That's an interesting way that that ends. You will see it when you are resting and trusting. Now, by resting in this case, Spirit is referring to the mind. When we are worrying, when we are fearful, we are not resting. When we are judging, we are not resting. Resting is a state of mind, and a good way to move into resting is through trusting. Right? Trusting is a great pathway to resting. He says, everything that you need will come upon you as you need it. That's a promise. He doesn't say, if you rest, right? He says, everything that you need will come upon you as you need it. He's giving me a promise. Then he says, and you will see it when you are resting and trusting. Which means if I am not resting and trusting, I could have everything that I need and not realize it. You know, I could have everything that I need, but have my eyes over there on something else and think, I need that. You know, for example, just in my personal life right now, my car is beginning to age. It's beginning to get some miles on it. Recently we discovered a problem with it. And it took, with both the new tires that we needed, because it ruined the tires, the car, the struts ruined the tires, right? So total, I guess it was probably close to $1,500 to fix the car. And now there's still a problem with it, we've noticed. So it's going to be going back, it looks like. So $1,500 to fix the car. Okay, well, if I was not resting and trusting, my mind could be fearful saying, I need a new car. This car is getting old. I need a new car. I could look at bank account and say, I don't have money for a new car. I could say that my needs are not being provided for. I could say that. I could make myself believe that. But it's not true. It's not true. You see, that's a perception. The car is being fixed. There's enough money to fix the car. I mean, the truth is everything is fine right now. So if we're judging in our minds, if we're fearing in our minds, everything can be fine right now, and we miss it. We don't see it. Someone asked me the other day about a friend of ours who doesn't appear to have a place to live. And this friend of ours, I think, is often, you know, saying things like, you know, they want to be settled, they want a place to live, right? And so the question was, well, how come that's not being provided? And I said, well, it's very complicated to answer that. And I said, but one of the answers was, in a way, it is being provided. I mean, this person always has a bed to sleep in. They stay with one friend after another friend, but the person always has a place to stay, always has food to eat. Maybe it is being provided. Right? It's not being provided the way the person maybe would imagine that they like it. But maybe if the mind was resting and trusting, the mind would instead be so grateful for everything that is being provided. So Spirit is not telling me if you rest and trust, everything you need will come upon you. Spirit is saying everything that you need will come upon you. You will see it. If you rest and trust. Do you see the difference there? If you rest and trust, you will see how I am providing it. If you're worrying and judging, you may not notice. You may think it is not being provided when it is. Okay, so that is the end of that particular message. I'll do what I traditionally do. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody wants to say anything about this topic before we move on to the next message and change topics. Okay, apparently you guys are all very satisfied. And just as I said that, Camp Carmen says, best topic ever, Regina. So yeah, it was a pretty clear, and something that we all get confused on, right? We all get confused. So yeah, I'm grateful for that message too. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go to the next message. If you look at the top of this page, you'll see where it's on the right where it says, do not stop, keep going. That's actually the name of our next message. So click on do not stop. Keep going, and you will go to that message. Just in case there is anyone in the room who is not at reginadonacres.com, here is a link to Do Not Stop, Keep Going. Again, we're in January 2007. This is a very short little message. Again, I've described to you what I was going through, and it looks like I'm probably continuing to go through this to some degree. Again, it's spirit worked with me for a few days, actually, to get me to let go of my fear and guilt around these individual desires that I had. Spirit may have been giving me very wise counsel, but the fear and guilt was so strong that although I could hear Spirit's wise counsel, I truly could not immediately accept it. I was still believing the fear and guilt within me, you could say, more than I was believing Spirit. You know, sometimes I think all of this is like mathematical. If I'm believing the ego 51% and Spirit 49%, I'm not yet ready to release. I need to at least shift over where I'm believing Holy Spirit 51% and ego only 49%, and then my releasing process, my letting go, begins to happen. So this was a time when I, though I was getting very wise counsel from Spirit, I was having a hard time letting go of the belief that I was somehow wrong, somehow bad for wanting these few things, this financial security, house to live in, and balance in my life with Jasmine. So this was really a big time of stuff coming up, fear and guilt coming up for me. All right? So here we go. Do not stop. Keep going. Fear is being flushed up now. To see fear but not react to it is to trust. Now, I bet you a dollar. I don't know for sure, which is why I got to say I bet you a dollar. I could be wrong. You could win. But I bet you a dollar that now I'm feeling guilty for my fear, right? Because in the last two messages we've seen, Spirit has said, trust me. Okay, well, one of the things I'm asking for is financial security. First of all, I feel guilty for wanting it in the first place. And now I've got that ego in my mind who does not agree with Tom. The ego says the Holy Spirit is dumb, right? The ego does not agree with Tom. And the ego is telling me that it's stupid to trust Spirit on this financial security thing. This is something a human needs to take care of. And if I remember correctly, you know, how all things come together perfectly, this is also a time that maybe some of you, some of my friends, begin to make posts on the peace of God and begin to write to me personally asking me to go get a job. It was out of sincerity. I wasn't being criticized by anyone, but people were sharing my fear. There were others that were saying, go get a job. What had happened at this time is I was done writing in TI. We have not yet found a publisher. We've not yet even done the validation. The validation happened in February of 07. But I was done writing NTI. I was in this space where I'd finished writing it. And now people were saying, okay, Regina, it's time to go get a job. And they were saying it literally sharing my fear. All right? So as you can imagine, with the ego shouting in my mind and then with it being echoed by my well-intentioned friends, you can just imagine what I was going through. I mean, I've got this idea. It's stupid to trust Spirit on financial security. Yet, I still have the guidance not to go work. I did. I had honest guidance not to go work. So you can imagine my state of mind. So again, let's look at this. Fear is being flushed up now. To see fear but not react to it is to trust. Okay, Spirit has asked me in the last two messages to trust him, to trust that he would provide for me, and yet I'm terrified. So now I'm feeling guilty for being terrified, because my thinking is, and this is ego thinking, it's a cute little trick, my thinking is, if I'm afraid, I'm not trusting, therefore I'm bad. Spirit is teaching me, wait a minute here, you are trusting. You may be scared, but I don't see you running out and getting a job. And why? Because you know my guidance, and what you really want is to follow my guidance. You may feel fear while you're doing it, but you're trusting. Again, we're coming back to math. I had to have at least been 51% on the side of trust and only 49% on ego, because I wasn't running out and looking for a job, right? I was listening to Spirit more. I was trusting Spirit more. I felt a hell of a lot of fear because 49% of my mind was still listening to ego. But 51 was on Spirit's side. And that's why I wasn't running around looking for a job. So what Spirit is telling me is, just because you feel fear doesn't mean you aren't trusting. Right? Look at the choice you are making. You are trusting. You are trusting. So again, fear is being flushed up now. To see fear but not react to it. See, I wasn't reacting to it. To see fear but not react to it is to trust. To trust is to let go of fear. To let go of fear is to let go of the world of illusion and to choose to know thy true self again. All right, so letting go of fear is not believing it. And if I'm not acting on what the fear is telling me to do, then I'm not believing it. I may be feeling very fearful, but if I'm not following fear's advice, I am actually going through a process of letting go of fear. The next paragraph says, heaven is different than the world you see now. To stop at the world you see now and say, I see heaven, is to stop short of heaven, which is there to see. Now, obviously, I had temptations running around in my mind, right? I mean, let's look at, again, where I was. I had left my job. I had written down NTI. And I had gone through a lot of good forgiveness practice. My mind was transformed. I did not have the same mind in January 2007 that I had in January 2004. In 3 years, there had been some significant, useful work. And there was a little thought in my mind that was trying to tell me that I had come far enough. Far enough. Go get a job. You'll see everything differently. You'll be different. Now again, nothing against getting a job, but see, you got to understand at another level, I knew that wasn't my guidance. You know how you can feel the difference? The gut level was not to go get a job. The gut level was to continue to wait, to continue to wait, to continue to trust. But this tricky little ego was trying to make me be happy with the amount of transformation that had occurred and leave the spiritual path saying, that's enough, that's enough. Okay, Tom, I'm turning the mic over to you. Oops. First I have to let go of the mic. Okay, here you go.
Hi, Regina. Just so you know, like, when I raise my hand, I'm not, like, screaming, I want the mic right now, get off. If you want to finish stuff, and I can wait. But anyways, Regina, I know exactly what you're talking about, even to the tiniest detail, because I went through the same period of my life where I was told specifically that I could not go out and have a job and work. I needed to follow that guidance. And the pressure that was coming from the world around me to do what the world says I should do was enormous. But to me, you know, like what you're describing and what I also experienced with this was basically the giving up of authority being in the world, accepting that authority in your mind, the authority of God, the authority of the Holy Spirit, that when it says, don't do this, don't do it. And it's funny, one thing I was told, that if I were to go out and get a job, that I would get hurt. And some years later, I actually did kind of fall for it real briefly, and I thought, okay, right now is a good time to get a job. And within a week, I busted my ankle I recovered, I went back, and within another week, I suffered another injury. So I said, you know what, I think I'm not supposed to work. So I just wanted to share this. But what's important in what you're saying to me is just the giving up of authority as being in the world. So thank you, Regina.
Yeah, thank you. And as you were telling your story, I was reminded of back when Bill and Helen were originally writing the course, while it was still kind of a big secret, right? The course was a secret. They went to a psychic who did not, you know about the course through them telling her. But of course, she was apparently a very good psychic, and she did know. And she told them, she said, if you do what the book says, you will be happy. If you don't do what the book says, you will get sick. And for me, as I look at the lives of Bill Thetford and Helen Schuckman, I feel like each one of them gave us an opportunity to see the truth of that statement. Because Bill, as we know now from books that have recently been published about him, Bill was pretty consistent at practicing what the Course taught. And he became very, very, very happy. Very happy. In fact, a stark contrast between the full individual Bill Thetford, right? Stark contrast. Helen, however, chose not to do what the book said. And if you know about the end of her life, she was very, very sick. Sick in an anger, hatred, attack type of way. So it's very interesting, you know, if you do what the book says, you'll be very happy. If you don't do what the book says, you will be sick. I take that as guidance for all of us, actually. I don't take that as guidance just for Helen and Bill. I think Helen and Bill just demonstrated for us that was true. And the sentence there, again, was the book, right? If you do what the book says. But really, if we remember, A Course in Miracles was Bill and Helen's guidance, and for some of us it may be our guidance too, but our guidance may come in other ways. So we can even change that sentence and say, if you do what guidance asks, you will be happy, and if you don't do what guidance asks, in some way you will be sick, maybe physically ill, maybe you'll injure your ankle, maybe you will just become angry, maybe you will be terrified, you will have fear in your life. But if we follow our guidance, we will be happy. You see, that's the promise. Okay? And that takes us right back to do not stop. Keep going, right? Follow the guidance to happiness. So again, the second paragraph says, heaven is different than the world you see now. To stop at the world you see now and say, I see heaven, is to stop short of heaven, which is there to see. When heaven is seen, there will be no need to see it. When heaven is seen, it will be all there is to see. Let go of everything that is coming up within you now. Only the truth is true. But you cannot know that as long as you know anything else as true. And I think we read a sentence last night in NTI about this, right? In fact, I have a couple minutes left here. I think I'm just going to find it. I'm pretty sure that this is the last thing we read last night in NTI when we were answering the question, how do I awaken from the illusion? We were on page 488, so let me turn back to 488 in NTI. And we read, on page 488, we read this paragraph. Let's see, where is it? That which cannot be described is indescribable. Right, we're talking about heaven now, truth. That which cannot be described is indescribable, but it shall be known because it is known. It is your truth, and it is within your knowing now. Now listen to this sentence. You need only to let go of everything that is not this knowing, without clinging to anything that feels safe within the familiar. And the familiar will fade away, that the known may shine within your mind. That's the same thing the Spirit is saying in this message. Let go of everything that is coming up within you now. Only the truth is true, but you cannot know that as long as you know anything else as true. We are here to let go of the world. We are here to let go of the world. I feel like I'm repeating how I ended last night. And we have guidance. However that guidance comes, whether it seems to come through an inner guide, whether it seems to come through an inner intuition, whether it seems to come through our attraction to a book. Do what the book says and you will be happy, right? No matter how that guidance comes, if we follow that guidance, it will lead us in a pace that is perfect and in a way that is perfect for each of us to let go of the world. But what we've been looking at tonight with these messages about individual desires is we're not asked to let go of the world prematurely before we're ready, right? If I still feel that I need financial security, I need a house to live in, I need balance in my life with Jasmine, if that is still what I believe, that I need that, I can trust that it will be given. Do not put my attention there. Put my attention on Spirit. Spirit is going to guide me perfectly. And what will eventually happen is I will see I am not the body, and I do not need those things. And in form, those things may even be taken away. But it will be fine because I will be ready. We are being guided to let go of the world, but we are also being guided to let go of the world at a pace and in a manner that is perfect for us. The Holy Spirit is not here to scare us. The Holy Spirit knows it cannot teach through fear. As Tom has said, the Holy Spirit is not dumb. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us to love through love. And we can trust that. Okay, that's it for me. I think my job now has something to do with making chocolate chip cookies. So I'll see you guys later. Wednesday morning, actually. Bye.